We pray that as you listen to one of our amazing team bring the Word of God, you are encouraged and challenged, and that your faith is stirred. To get in touch or for more information about us as a church, head to libertychurchuk.com.
Great. Your Bible's open. Ready? This is my one question to you. Have I started to take Jesus seriously as a teacher and not just a savior? I think we're in a season of our time. I didn't live in the 1800s or the 1700s. So I can only talk when I'm living, where I think we need to realize, church, we love the savior thing, but he also is the way and the truth. He's not just the life. And so we have to start to take Jesus seriously as a teacher. If he makes a command, if he commands something or suggests something or talks to you about something or says something in his word, it's really a good idea that we do it. Because any other way, we're going to end up in a more deprived place, in a lesser place, in a more place of anxiety, in a place that doesn't bring the fullness. We're going to rob ourselves and we're going to rob others from what God is doing. I know that's not really groundbreaking and it's not like, wow, Heath, you've just come out of this word I've never heard before. But I think sometimes in today's message, the simplicity of the gospel is what we need. Because we're waiting for the bigness of something else and we're not just realizing, guess what, Jesus, you are a teacher. I was thinking about this the other day, that we love Jesus as he is the truth. We love the truth and we need to know what the truth is, but he's also the way. And if Jesus is the way, he's not pointing you to a way. He's saying, I want you to live like I lived. Church, we're going to enter a new rhythm and a new season. There was a bit of music there to help me out. But a new rhythm and a new season that I think it's going to skew how we do things. God wants us to go from a place of rest. He wants you to really examine the rhythm of your life. Jesus was never too busy. He was never rushing around. Jesus did not have a PA to sort out his stuff. He didn't at any point go, I just want to refer you to this lady here. If you can send your request, just send her an email. I can get back to you. And if I think it's important, I'll get back to you. He never even, when he was walking along the street and somebody screamed at him and was like, Jesus. And he was like, he stopped and he prayed. He didn't say, God, I really haven't got time for you. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to let Peter pray for you because, you know, he's my second in command and I'm just going to go. Jesus was prepared to be interrupted, but he was never too busy. He was never overscheduled. He had times of retreat, times when he plugged into his Father, times when he was amongst the people, times when he cried, times when he wrestled with things and with people and that. But he led a rhythm in life that I think God is calling us to. So if your idea of church is a package, deal with church on Sunday, we'll Bible study then we do this, and then we do that, and then we do this, and we do this, and then I think you're going to be disappointed in the next few months. I think you're going to be disappointed. If you're an achievement-driven person and you need 10 things to achieve, I think God's going to humble you on your knees and bring you to a place where all you're going to achieve today is just be in my presence. Because apparently the Holy Spirit is the greatest teacher. And apparently the presence of God is where we all want to be. And so I really want you to think about this. And so today, I want to tie the three things together. Communion, which we spoke about right at the beginning of the year. Really what we talked on last week when we just read the scriptures, that all we did about don't panic, don't fear in, God's got the battle. Understand that we come to before him in prayer and in worship. These are things. Reason we took a couple of minutes is there's tomorrow morning, maybe you can just take a couple of minutes, stick on some worship music and just sit in his presence. And try that. See what kind of happens with your mind. Don't stop after three times going, oh, well, I just can't go. No, keep on pushing through. Keep on spending time with God. Keep on wrestling with it. Keep on worshiping. Keep on saying, God, change my thought patterns. But I want to tie this message into it. We took a bunch of leaders away last weekend, and I really felt this hit something because, church, we need to be mature in what's going to take place in amongst us. Sometimes we are our own worst enemy. We honestly are. We infight more than we deal with the enemy outside because we haven't grown up in an area. So let me read these scriptures to you. Job chapter 22, verse 21. I feel like this is a scripture for somebody. Agree, which is means to yield, to be of use, of service, of benefit with God. So agree with God and be at peace. You want peace with God? You want peace to dwell in the things that you want to dwell in the areas? Well, you need to agree with him. The reason the world is in such turmoil is they don't agree with God. Oh, that's what, isn't there more to it? No, there's not really more to it. It's that simple. If we agree with Jesus and we agree with the rhythms of God, we will be at peace. So if you're not at peace, if you're in turmoil, if your life is all over the place, it's because you're not agreeing with the patterns and things of God. Ask him and he'll reveal it to you. Thereby good will come to you. We get so caught up in, well, maybe let's try this or try that, or let's try this way of life, or here's another 10 steps, or let me get this book. No, just agree with God. So the best book to read is your Bible. Whatever circumstances going on in your life, I promise you this, the answer is in the Word of God. It is. All these great books are written. I'm reading an excellent one at the moment. It is only to really talk a little bit of my language and explain to me some things that are rooted in the Word of God. If it's not rooted in the Word of God, stop reading it. Some of you need to put down some Netflix series because they're not rooted in the Word of God right now, and you need to just clear that away. Oh, it's my escape time. No, you're escaping to places mentally that God doesn't need you to be in. Just put them down. You want to watch something as a series? There's a new app out called The Chosen. Get it on your phone. Watch it. It's the greatest series I've ever seen about the life of Jesus. It's awesome. And you can watch it for free, or you can pay a little bit of money and let somebody else watch it in the rest of the globe. It's called The Chosen. It's an app. You can watch it. You can stream it to your thing. But if you want to do that, let's read some scripture. Proverbs 12, verse 18. The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. The goal is always healing and reconciliation with God. Whatever God comes and challenges us and speaks to our lives, or what he wants us to come into somebody else's life and speak to, and that is always with the goal of reconciliation. It's always with the goal of glory to glory. But the responsibility is, what are we going to use our mouths for? And actually, we need to ask ourselves in it, what is my motivation with what I'm speaking? Just because somebody pipes up, I'm a Christian, the next thing out of their mouth does not mean they're going to speak something godly. You need to learn to weigh up what people are saying and understand the spirit of discernment with the spirit of which they are saying it. Sometimes people will speak out of hurt. Sometimes people will speak out of immaturity. I speak out of immaturity because, you know what? I'm still growing up. So please don't judge me on everything I say. If there's something that I don't say that you don't agree with, rather come and talk to me. I don't want to jump ahead of myself on that. But we have a responsibility with the gift that God has given us to use it for the edification and for the raising up, not of the pulling down, of destroying. Church, have discernment. James chapter 1, verse 19 to 20. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. There's times in my life when I'm not slow to become angry. I'm really fast. Touch the right button in my life, touch my family, and I get angry. That doesn't make it right, my anger. Some things, I don't care. I honestly don't care about, because it's not close in my heart. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. It does not produce a walking and a way of living that God desires. Does that mean there's some emotions that can't rise up in us? No, they can. They can. The question is, what do we do with them? In our world today, we feel we have a right to say whatever we want to say. And if you won't listen, 55 million people on Facebook will. And I will get likes, and I will get cheers, and I'll get, yay, go for this. Sometimes just hold your tongue and say nothing. Wrestle with it with God. Have communion with God. January message. Last week, don't panic. Worship, bring it towards him, and then decide what you're going to do with it. Let me read one other scripture. Ephesians 4:29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. You don't get permission to tell everybody everything. For those of you sitting under the sound of my voice and are part of Liberty Church and have said we are family, you have given us as leadership permission to speak into your life. You have given us that. You have said we are part of this collective of people. For those of you visiting us today, You haven't. Now, you can choose to walk out. It's entirely up to you. But actually, we need to understand that our mouths, God has gifted us in order to produce wholesome things, not to tear down. Do you know, I was privy to a conversation the other day. I sat across a table from another guy. I didn't know they were believers or whatever. And as I'm sitting there having a cup of coffee, this one guy says to the other guy something about somebody else, tearing them down. The other guy said, I love you, you're my mate, but if you continue like this, this coffee's over. Oh, there was awkward silence. We need to challenge gossip and what is being spoken about other things because people are speaking out of the wrong motivation of their hearts. So I want to get to this place. There is victory in the disagreement and the conflicts that we face. There is victory in the disagreement and the conflicts that we face. Number one, not rocket science. We will have disagreements. Has anybody got an amen? Every one of us. How many of you have never faced a disagreement? How many of you are right now at peace with everybody in your entire life and you have no problem with anybody whatsoever? Good. Well, at least we're honest. Number two, we will experience conflict. We will experience conflict. Settle it in your heart. There is going to be conflict. Good, bad, ugly, nice, not so nice. Things that some of you love conflict. Come on, be honest with me. How many of you like a good conflict moment? I do. I love it. I'm all for a big, good conflict moment. Problem is, what's the motivation of my heart? Am I going to win this argument and lose you? Or am I actually going to come to a place of walking and understanding with one another? But we will all experience conflict. It's an opportunity for growth or decay. I believe everybody in this room wants to grow. Conflict is not a problem at all. The fear comes when you pre-prescribe in your head what the other person is thinking or doing or going to say or how you think they're going to act. And so then you don't bring it to a place of health. So you end up not being in solitude with the Lord saying, God, help me. You go into isolation on your own and say, that's it. I'm going to protect myself. Hey, I have those moments. I don't want to see anybody. I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to know you. I don't care what you're doing. I am having my party over here and it's called pity. And me, and you know what? Sometimes I go there. Judge me if you want to. But I pray that in those times, I get out of there quicker than I used to be in there because I'm like, Lord, help me. I love this for all the sportsmen or sports ladies in the house. Play the ball, not the man. Do you know what happens in sport when you get annoyed and angry with the opponent? What starts to happen? Watch it. They play the man instead of the ball. Why? Because their motivation is, I'm going to nail you. Bottom line, I was telling the guys last week, and I think I've told you before, this is one of the reasons I don't play football anymore, because I can't control my emotions fully on a football pitch. I just can't. There was one guy who was in there in the football pitch, and he's stepping on my inner toe like this and ramming his studs into it, and so I politely tapped him on the shoulder and said, excuse me, please won't you not do that again. How many of you know that didn't really provoke a great... And he was like, you know, gave me a few words and that. I was like, oh. So he did it again. So I kindly went over to the ref. I said, ref, this gentleman over here. See, I use good language. This gentleman over here is stepping on my toe. Number one, they're new boots. And number two, it's really sore. So could you ask him please not to do that? The ref told me to stop being a baby and get on with the game. So now I'm like, at this moment, all the young people from my youth group are standing on the side watching this. So I got a couple of choices. So I come back, it's another throw, and he steps into it. So I tap him politely on. I said, look, I've asked you once. Now I'm going to ask you twice. Is there something wrong with your ears? You know, which he really didn't appreciate that comment. I said, could you please stop stepping on my toe? Do you have a spatial awareness issue? You know, so I'm having this discussion with him. He does it again. I pulled his shorts down. And so he stood there. With nothing on. He wasn't best pleased. And I got a yellow card. I'd like to say one of the only yellow cards I've ever got in my life because I'm quite polite. But I lost it. I started to faff around. Instead of just letting my football do the talking, I got distracted by something else, put off my game plan because of this guy and his doing, and I played the man instead of playing the ball. Sometimes in life, we're playing the man. We're playing our wife, we're playing our husband, we're playing our friendships, we're playing our leaders, we're playing those around us, and we're thinking the wrong things about them, when actually, do you know what? Their heart is for us. Their heart is for us. So let's read the scripture together. James chapter 4. I've just got a couple of scriptures and then we're going to go for it. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You're right, I'm right, you're wrong, I'm wrong. That's why we fight. I've got a better opinion than you. I can do it better than you. The washing machine does not have two lots of washing powder, it only has one. We do put fabric softener. This is not me and Leah, just by the way, just other things of it. It's stupid things, but we all have these quarrels, and because these passions come inside of us. Even the church to the world, we're right, you're wrong. That's not how Jesus called us to act. He said, love people. He said, this is a house of reconciliation. This is a house where we take responsibility and we lead people to a place of freedom. Anybody who thinks differently, anybody who's without sin, please stand up and throw the first stone. Nobody stands up. But our passions rage inside of us. You desire and you do not have, so you murder. Now you think, I didn't murder anybody. You know, well, they haven't caught you yet, but I didn't do anything. Yeah, you did in your mind. We did in our minds. The world would be better off without you. Our church would be better off without you. If we could get rid of you, Heath, this church would definitely flourish. That's what we do. We crucify people. We chuck them on the heap because there's passions and things raging inside of us instead of dealing with them in a godly way that brings us to a place of flourishing and growth. We end up in a place of decay. Some of you are thinking, man, I never do that. Yeah, you do at home. You belittle your husband or your wife or your child. I say you. I might as well just say me. We call out. You know, oh, you look a bit full in that dress today. Ooh. Yeah. You really need to lose weight. Stop telling people that all the time. It hasn't helped in the last whatever many years. Encourage them. Pray with them. Pray for them. Pray for yourself. Maybe your eyes are just too narrow and you're not seeing well. You ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. Lord, deal with that person, that evil person. I'm right, they're wrong. And God goes, yeah, I ain't going to do that, buddy, because your passion is wrong. You want it for yourself. You want it because I want to walk out of here. Do you know that in everything that anybody's ever brought me of conflict towards me, there is some truth in what they're saying? Do you know that? Because I can't sit there and go, I am 100% right and you are 0% right. Actually, there is truth in what people say when they bring something to us. Even if they bring it in anger, I've learned to take it on and go, God, what are they really saying here? Okay, God, what am I responsible for here? I can only do with what I'm actually responsible with and sort that out. It might be 80% wrong. But somewhere in there is some sort of truth. And if we don't deal with that, what we do is, in anger, in fear, and that we project it back onto them, and it's your fault, and then we're killing them, we're destroying them. I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to see you. I don't want to be around you. And you know what? The enemy goes, hallelujah, I'm going to split the people up. Because we don't deal with this maturity. This is really cool, hey? You adulterous people. I'm not adulterous. I never committed adultery in my life. We have when we turn our minds away from the things of God and we put it on the things of other things. We say, do you know what? That's going to rule my life, not the ways of God. And so actually, I'm okay with murdering somebody. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is that it is no purpose that the scripture says he yearns jealously over the spirit that is made to dwell in us? God yearns jealously over you. He is jealous over you. He wants you to walk in and become everything you're called to be, but we have to take some responsibility in how we're thinking, how we're portraying ourselves to others, what we're dwelling on. But he gives more grace, therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Whatever the conflict is, whatever you're journeying through, ask the Lord, say, Lord, how do I deal with this humbly? Not, I'm right. You may be right. You may be 100% absolutely right, but you also may be wrong because you're only seeing through one set of lenses. And so we have to come to things with wisdom. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. So knowing all this stuff, how do we get to a place where we walk humbly, where we don't murder people, where we honor them? We submit ourselves to God. Then we resist the devil. There is a process in doing it. You have to bring and say, God, help me to walk in reconciliation. Help me to walk in forgiveness. Help me to walk in things that can be restored from glory to glory. And he says, okay, submit yourselves to me. Then we'll resist the devil. And then he's going to do one and flee. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, double-minded. Jeez, that's me there, double-minded oftentimes. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will exalt you. That line, verse 9 there, is when somebody gets so highfalutin and arrogant that they laugh at other people and enjoy the fact that I'm right and you're wrong and God's going, quit that and actually get humble about this thing. The goal is not to win an argument. The goal is to keep connection and relationship. Today in the world, if I disagree with you on some things, you will cast me out and I am seen as evil to you or against you. Just because I disagree with you, it doesn't mean I'm against you. I've got two more scriptures for you to read. Let me just check my time and it's okay. Matthew chapter 5. You have heard that it was said of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. We know that. It's not a good idea. Don't kill anybody. Not today. Okay. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says, you fool, that's like a Mr. T, will be liable to the hell of fire. Three things there. Everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. You continue holding anger against somebody, you're going to come to a place where God's going to go, let's sort this out. You are going to stand before God for that continuous behavior and continuous heart towards people. And then it goes on further to say, whoever insults, and now we've taken this to a verbal or Facebook level, will be liable to the council. The moment you stick something out publicly, be sure as heck that there's a bunch of people going to call you to account on it. And if you're in this house, I'll call your account to it. People stick stuff on Facebook, whatever they want to do, and think, oh, I can do whatever. No, we are children of God who are called to edify, encourage, and lift up, even in your pity sometimes. In my pity, I've put things on social networking sites to get a reaction. That needs to be challenged. Because actually, that is the wrong platform to be doing things on. And it's actually a selfish desire, and the desire in me is to be, now don't miss the person in it, maybe they truly need something, but when it is a continuous thing, we have to be wise in those things. Don't add your comment to it. Oh, shame, what's happening? You know, people who put one line, it's a bad day today. The next person goes, oh, shame, tell me what's happening. Then another person, then there's a third person, and a fourth person. And the next thing, they wait long enough, and then they reveal what's truly happening. So it's gone up to about 56 likes, 14 hearts, 3 sobbing cries. And then people go, oh, and then you tell them even more. And it's like, oh my gosh, oh, now we get a wave of people. Over what? Because actually there's a desire in there somewhere that needs to be met, but it needs to be met by Jesus, not everybody else around. And people that have come into those people's lives that can stand with them, pray with them, walk with them. I'm talking about Bible-believing people here. And we want to do that. And then we get to a point where we end up with just a big mess. And then we end up with a point in the church where there's 50 people running around after one person. It's like, Lord, bring us to a place of maturity in these things. Some of you are sitting there going, oh, Heath, stop talking. And then it gets to the point where we say, you fool. We're literally slating them. Like, just, you absolute fool. I don't want to get to that point. You'll be lied to the hell of fire. I'm like, not a place I really want to go. That's when our hearts are turned and they just like, and actually sometimes there's a bit of wrath going on in there. So if you, and then it goes on to say this. So if you're offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, or maybe you got something against them, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother and then come to offer your gift. It's like that in communion. Sometimes we got so much conflict going on with people and God's going, when you come and you do these things and offer a gift and you take communion and do those things and that, it's getting tainted by the simple fact, like, go and sort some stuff out. You don't have to solve the whole issue, but get to a place where, hey, you know, where are we at? Can we chat this kind of thing through? Because it's the enemy that wants to kill, steal, and destroy, cause discord, rip you apart, and it's God wants to bring you to a place of reconciliation, intimacy, and those things. And we know in our hearts, I think God's calling us to be a brave people. A brave people. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you're going with him to the court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge, and you can carry on reading the rest of the scripture. Let me read you one more scripture, and then we'll close. Matthew chapter 18, this is a good one. I want to bring all these things into this place now. Just remember the whole time, whatever the issues are and the stuff and the turmoil going on in our lives, God, have I come to you in this place of communion, recognizing that you, Jesus, died on a cross? Have I come and spent time with you and dwelt on your body and your blood? Have I come to a place of not panicking and not worrying and worshiping you first and speaking to those that good people that you've placed in my life, not everybody else? And God, what am I going to do with these things now? If your brother sins against you, number one, this is very clear. I really want you to lock on here to this. Number one, go and tell him what you think is his fault between you and him alone. Today, after the service, if I have offended you, I'm going to sit over there and I'm quite happy for anybody to come and tell me what my fault is. No problem. If there's a queue out the door, I will stay here till 2 o'clock. Honestly, because we can't preach this message and walk out of here like that. Because I may be wrong and you may be, and actually I need to listen. Doesn't mean I got to change and do and skip to your beat. But there's something that God does not want us to be in that turmoil with. So number one, this is the wisdom and the maturity our God deals with. Go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. If you can sit and talk it out, you've gained your brother. So it doesn't say go out into the world. It doesn't say get a group of your gang and rock up at their door and say brought the heavies with. It doesn't say go on every social media and put a subtle message that is aimed at them. Come on, we're not stupid. We all know, we all can read the situation. And then it says, but if he doesn't listen, so if you come to me today, I'm going to use me as a God. You come to me today and say, Heath, this is what I'm feeling. And I say, ah, sod off. That's going to be on the podcast now. You know? You know, oh, thank you, you'll bleep it. No, maybe don't bleep it, because that's not good. Thank you, what? If I don't listen, then what does it say you must do? Now bring the heavies. No, one or two others along with you. And when you read that in the Bible, it's not one or two others that you think, do you hate him too? Do you not like him as well? Great, there's three of us now. We even got placards. We don't like Heath Gang, you know, or whatever you want to call yourselves. You can get a flag as well. That every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. No, pick people of some wisdom. You've talked it through with them. This is pretty serious if we get to this stage and we can't work it out, just the two of us chatting. And then come to me and say, Heath, do you know what? You didn't listen to me. I feel this is on my heart. We haven't discussed this biblically. We haven't come into an understanding. Can we talk this through again? I brought some other guys. Not because you hate me, because actually you want there to be a recognition, a responsibility, a vulnerability, an accountability to take place. Why? Because the goal is reconciliation. The goal is flourishing. The goal is fruitful. So take those guys and off we go and we bring the evidence. Now, if that doesn't work either, if he refuses, I'm like, I don't care who those guys are. I don't care what you're saying. To listen to them, tell the church. That's not coming and going, I feel I got a prophetic word. And then as you get up here, right, not really got a prophetic word, but what I've got to tell you about Heath is, it's not that kind of moment. But it is a place of coming to and saying, Lord, okay, I am going to bring this before the church. That is why we have an eldership team. If you have something and I'm not going to listen and you are constantly bashing my ear, and I hope I'm not like that, and I dismiss you, and then there is Gaza, there is Graham, and there is Phil to come in front of the eldership team. If I step out of line, they will step me down because I am not bigger than this house. Jesus is the builder of the church. If we get to this stage, which we may one day at some point with anybody, this is sad to get to, but it may happen. But it says, if you refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if you refuse to listen even to the church, let him to be as a Gentile and a tax collector, which is not a great thing. It's not a great moment. Truly I say to you, for whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. We take this scripture out of context. And whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. In context of this, of dealing with discipline, this is the place where we come into agreement with God of how to deal with our conflicts as God would deal with them. We can bind and loose things by our behavior. We have an opportunity for the angelic to come or the demonic to operate. If we don't deal with them biblically, the demons go, yay, hey, let's go have a field day. Bring your picnics. Where otherwise, when we get to deal with them well, we release the voice of heaven, heaven's touch on the situation, and then the angelic to bring reconciliation. Do you know when Jesus was in the boat? What is my time? Okay, I got 10 minutes, 5 minutes. When Jesus was on the shore and he sat there, he came to a place where he made breakfast. He prepared breakfast. He got the fire ready. He had the stuff ready. And the boys were out in the boat because they didn't know what to do with their lives. Number one, they went fishing at the wrong time and the wrong season. This was after Jesus rose again. Wrong time and wrong season. They should know that. What happened in that boat is as they're coming back, Jesus calls out at them and says, did you catch anything? No. He says, cast your nets on the other side. They pull the fish in. And who does Jesus really want to reconcile with at that moment? Peter. Who tells him that that's Jesus? John. Read it. John says, it's the Lord. If our heart is truly in a place where we know God loves us, John was a disciple that Jesus loved, we will be willing to say to people, that's the Lord. Go find your freedom and your reconciliation. Go get it because he's available to you. And we will be happy with staying in the boat while he goes there and gets what he needs. At the same time, Jesus has stoked the fire and he's got it to the perfect temperature, ready for the boys to come put the fish on and for him to cook for them. Sometimes reconciliation needs a time period. You're not going to solve everything in 2 minutes. But if we don't do it this way, Jesus needed time to build the fire, to get it to the right temperature, to create the moment with fish on it, to then to say to Peter, Peter, do you love me? But I love John. It's the Lord. John could have gone, sod you all, I'm not telling you, it's Jesus, I'm going. But he knew in his heart that Jesus' goal was reconciliation with Peter. And he said to Peter, it's the Lord. Get out of the boat, buddy, and go and meet him. Are we prepared to humble ourselves, to love people because we love so much, to say, I know what you're saying. I know the turmoil, but there's the Lord. Go and meet him. I'll stick with the boat while you go and get healed. But we have the opportunity to invite the angelic or the demonic into this place. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. If two people in conflict come together and start to make the journey together towards reconciliation, understanding, that is the place of agreement, and that is what God agrees. It does not mean I come to Leah and go, Leah, let's pray over my Ferrari. Hallelujah. We agree. Good. If there's a Ferrari in that car park, I'm going to be blown away right now, aren't I? But, you know. But it's we don't get these scriptures right sometimes. When we come together and we say, despite our difference, what we're feeling here as believers, we're going to agree to reconcile. It says it will be done by my Father in heaven. Reconciliation, unity, working towards understanding. There is a blessing of heaven that comes down. You just got to walk through the time period. And finally, and we use this scripture out of context too. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among you. That scripture is not when we come in worship. Please don't, when we come into a prayer meeting where there's two or three, because if you're in your prayer meeting on your own, guess what? According to that scripture, God's not there. You're on your own, you're on your own. You know that song they sing at football matches or whatever? But that's not true, is it? Because the Holy Spirit dwells inside you. When two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among, in relation to conflict. Let me finish with this. I think this is almost done. Nothing to do with worship service or gathering for the church. I'll finish with this little story and then we can pray. A person came one day to see Mr. Longdon of Sheffield and said, I have something against you and I come to tell you of it. And he said to him, do walk in, sir, he replied. You are my best friend. If I could but engage my friends to be faithful with me, I shall be sure to prosper. He's talking to the guys come to see him. But if you please, before we get to this, can we both pray in the first place and ask the blessing of God upon this time together? The guys come with a conflict. After they rose from their knees and had much blessed time together, he said, now I will thank you, my brother, to tell me what it is you have against me. Oh, said the man, I really don't know what it is. It's all gone. And I believe I was wrong. A guy came with a conflict. And he came to Mr. Longdon's door and said, I got something against you. What did Mr. Longdon do? He didn't flip out. He said, right, up for a fight. Let's take this down the coffee shop. Or come in here and I'll sort you out. He said, okay. But before we get that, before we deal with that, can we pray together? Can we just remember who's King and Lord and just worship? Just spend some time. Bring our hearts right before God. And then as we sit there, finish that time of great blessing. He says to him, okay, what's the issue? Let's talk it through. And the guy goes, in this particular case, I don't know what it was, but I knew I was wrong. It is amazing, church, that before we address anybody, we bring our hearts before the Lord and we pray and we worship and we take communion and we maybe even fast and we give thanks. And it's amazing what God deals with in us and deals with in the other person before we have to come to a place of, we got to sort this out. And you may have to go there, but the scripture is clear in how we lay that out. A couple of weeks ago, we shared this with a few people. We were in our home, and I'm sorry if I've shared this before, but I'll share it again just to illustrate the point. It's one of those, just one of those stressful mornings, and stuff's going on in that, and I'd said something wrong with the kids and stuff, and Leah was quite in her right to address me about it, and she didn't. She just prayed and that, and it's funny how the Lord then just on my heart, as I came upstairs, she said, Heath, can I talk to you? I said, you don't need to talk to me. I know what I did wrong. I was wrong. And she said, tell me. And so I shared with her what the situation was. And she just smiled at me. I said, okay. I didn't need her reprimand. I'd had heaven deal with me. Doesn't mean I'm going to get it wrong again. No, I might get it wrong again. But church, I'm asking you, I think this, those three things tied together, the communion, the worship, the prayer, the fasting, we're going to go into a season of that. I know what God's saying. But in this place of what is our heart and our motivation to those around us? You may be okay right now and think, I got no problems with anybody. But do you know what? Through life, you're going to. How are we going to journey through them so that we keep Jesus at the center? We maintain the unity the Bible says that we have, and we walk in the fullness of who He is. Be brave, please. If you really have an issue with someone, beautiful. If you really have an issue, or you really think, man, just go and talk to somebody. If it's gossip, shut it down. It's not going to edify and encourage, build anybody up. You know what? The peace of God comes. Agree with God, says in Job, and His peace will come. Why don't you just bow your heads? And then one scripture, it's talked about submitting to God. Sometimes though, according to the connection, the fighting spirit within many of us, men and women, shows that we've actually not submitted ourselves to God. The lusting, the envy, the strife, the contention, the jealousy, the anger, all these things declare that my heart is not submitted, but remains violently self-willed and rebellious. Those who are still wrathful, proud, contentious, and selfish are evidently unsubmitted. Hey, we're all there at times. So there's no condemnation. There's nobody pointing the finger. This is a message going, let's not let the enemy win. Let's realize who's slinging the mud. Let's understand that we will have conflict. We will have strife. We will have things with one another. We're all different. Some of you will come over to my house for a meal, and after the meal, you'll be like, I'm not sure I want to stay with Heath more than 2 hours. That's okay. I'm different to you. But where there is things, I ask us to walk in the responsibility that we've been given to bring it biblically before the Lord, to honor one another in how we deal with it, and to show a world that there is a way to deal with things that actually flourishes both parties in it. That everybody comes out in a place of growth and not decay. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, in our hearts, I recognize, Lord, that there's sometimes I'm not dealing with things well. Help me, Jesus. Help us as a church to walk in your maturity. Help us to walk in your goodness and your mercy and your love. Help us to trust those that you've put around us. Help us to see the gold in one another. Help us, Lord, not to spiral into places of negativity. Help us, God, even if sometimes we do end up in places like I do, that we don't dwell there forever and ever. Help us, Lord, to be a people who even in the tough times, in the hurting, God, we trust you. And we trust those you've brought around us. Father, I pray a blessing over your people this morning. I pray a blessing of your peace. I pray a blessing of your security, of knowing that you're God and we are your people. And we are called to model something different to a world that keeps demanding and keeps demanding. We want to be a light and a city on the hill. We want to do things your way, Jesus, because you are the way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Why don't you stand when you want to, and we just worship God just before we go.